A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Well, Mike Evans may have inspired his team, but he's now going to cost them. He suspended one game for his actions during Sunday's win. And, you know, at New Orleans, this is something that going into the game, Mike Evans was talking about how he, you know, didn't want to do anything to hurt his team. Well, he hurt his team, at least in the long term. Short term, sure, after the fracas that they had in New Orleans, you know, they scored, what, 17 unanswered points. But he's going to appeal this suspension. It was handed down on Monday. The league didn't wait very long. John Runyon, their vice president, in a letter to Mike Evans, more or less told him that he created sort of a melee, which I love the word melee. That's kind of what it was, kind of a baseball term. But this is not at all what you want to be known for or that you want to do. You don't want to hurt your team going into a big game against Green Bay, the home opener. And yet, I think there were a lot of people at fault in this whole situation, Steve. I go back and I've kind of watched that whole thing. And even on his podcast, the Let's Go podcast, Tom Brady took some blame for this whole situation.
Well, he went down the field looking for a pass interference call.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he was chirping a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a lot of others. And look, I love Mike Evans. I like players when you have your teammates' backs.
Sure.
That's important on a team. But to charge in the way he did from the sidelines,
right,
to knock over Marshon Lattimore, that's going too far. He deserves a suspension. He will appeal. He'll lose it, as he should.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That should have been a suspendable action. He lost his head. It's one thing when you're in the middle of it and guys are chirping and there's some shoving going on, but when you come charging in like that, you deserve to be suspended. I mean, he did start the melee. I mean, pushing and shoving happens all the time in the NFL.
Right.
But when you charge in like that from afar, that starts a melee. And John Runyon put it best.
Well, Tom Brady thinks it's ridiculous. And, of course, he's his teammate, and he knows he was sticking up for him. Brady said on his podcast that he was not in control of his own emotions for that whole game. And I got a call. It was kind of funny, man. I got a call on Monday night from Warren Sapp, who checks in every now and then, which is great. And he started talking to me about how he knew sort of how the Bucs felt. There was a time when the Bucs were very good. The Saints had a pretty good team at one point early in Sapp's, you know, when the Bucs were starting to become a playoff team. And they had trouble winning in New Orleans. And he said, man, he goes, you know, you go in there and it's bloody. You know what I mean? Like, it's just certain teams, you know, it's going to be physical. You know, it's going to be a lot of chirping. And you want to win so bad because you got a monkey on your back. And he goes, you could tell from the start of the game that, you know, the Bucs were just really, you know, sort of, you know, that it was they were high on their feelings. They were really, you know, emotional. And things weren't going very well, even though it was 3-3. And I think the reason why the Bucs won, quite frankly, and the Saints didn't, is that Tom Brady is comfortable in games like that because he knows for him it's just about winning. For a guy like Jameis Winston, it's about let's make the big play to win. You know what I mean? Jameis kept taking shots down the field. He targeted Chris Olave 13 times. 13. Had him down the field a few times, missed him, and wound up only completing 5 of those 13 to Chris Olave, the one speed receiver they have. But Brady was content. You know, he wanted to score points, but he didn't do anything stupid. And eventually they got the turnovers that they needed to win the game and the touchdown pass to Breshad Perriman, obviously. But I don't know. You go back and you kind of forensically analyze this thing. I mean, in a way, it is football. Can they hurt each other? I suppose. Lattimore has a history with Mike Evans. We know that. In fact, Lattimore last week, the week prior to Sunday's game, was involved in shoving down a player and getting a personal foul. you know, at the end of the game against Atlanta, when Atlanta was done, they had no timeouts, they weren't in field goal range, and that actually moved the ball within a 60-something yard field goal attempt that they missed at the end of the game. But he's kind of known for this too, you know, like he is known to take those shots, sometimes maybe not the first one, but the second one for sure. And, you know, he's not completely innocent in the deal, I guess. There's also a situation that the Saints are sort of playing up, and I would say this, that the NFL is looking into, and that is the sideline, the Bucs sideline, in particular, Bruce Arians being down there. There's really no restrictions that I'm aware of about who you can have on the sideline or not, and typically, at least at Raymond James, and even for that matter, when they went to Dallas, Bruce Arians was in a box. He was in a box with Jason Light upstairs. He wasn't on the field. He claims that the Saints didn't have a specific box for their front office, and they have a lot of front office staff. I mean, it's not just Jason Light and Bruce Arians. I mean, you also have John Spytek. You also have Mike Greenberg and some others. And so without that ability to be in their own box, there were some national radios that aren't typically there because of the you know, sort of the marquee game of the afternoon. And so they felt like they had no choice but to go downstairs. Well, that's not entirely true. You do have a choice. Most or very many teams, and this has gone on for decades, the front office will sit in the press box, actually where we are, above us typically. And there were, it looked to be like 10 or 12 locations that were reserved for the Buccaneers for that very purpose. But it was in the main press box. It wasn't in a separate box. And there's also an owner's suite. If there's room in there and the owners want to invite any members of the organization, they can go in there as well. But the Bucs felt like, well, we didn't have a box. We're going downstairs. And as Bruce told me, he goes, look, if I'm down there, I can't help but get on the referees. I mean, it's just who I am, right? But you can't have somebody who's sort of the, you know, while Todd Bowles is probably saying his piece, he's still maintaining his cool and, you know, got the arms folded down there and making his points. But Bruce is so demonstrative that, you know, he's not a head coach. He is the special assistant to the GM, and yet he's riding officials and potentially, I guess, could get flagged if he said the wrong thing. So it's kind of an unwieldy situation. It sort of began with that play that they thought was pass interference, and Bruce is chirping at the ref. And I think at one point Lattimore was probably chirping back at Bruce, and then that's, you know, Brady got involved. And as soon as Brady got up there, now everybody's in protection mode. You know, they're just completely worried about, you know, who's going to take a shot at the GOAT. I mean, you got to protect the GOAT. You know, it's just a little like hockey, right? You got to protect your leading scorer. You know, nobody can take a run at Steven Stamkos or Nikita Kucherov or that kind of thing. And, you know, and Brady, you know, admitted again that this just meant, you know, I was frustrated. We were dropping some balls. We weren't executing, you know. And
dropping,
I know,
some balls?
Well, they dropped a bunch, yeah.
They dropped a lot.
They dropped a bunch. Some people said it was, I don't know if it was as many as I heard. Like, how many passes did you hear that they dropped? I guess just on the whole, like maybe four or five.
Well, it depends on what you count as a drop.
Well,
Evans had one down the field that Lattimore's right in his face. And kind of waves his arms, but it hit Evans in the hands.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, Evans is good enough. He's got to catch that ball.
Yeah, I remember that one.
I mean, it's a tough catch because you're kind of blocked from it.
It's a combat catch, but he's made those.
But Lattimore missed it, and it hit him in the hands.
Yeah, kind of shielded him from it. But like, there was one where Scotty Miller's kind of laying out, and he sort of has it, but he comes up with that as a circus catch.
Well, Scotty Miller could stay on his feet.
Well, that would help, too.
He tripped a lot.
Yeah, he went down a lot. I mean, obviously, Co-Keefe dropped one, obviously.
I mean, as I was watching the game, it's like Brady's throwing dimes and his receivers aren't catching. Not, some of them weren't perfect. I mean, in the NFL, you're not often open enough to get a perfect pass.
No, they kind of throw you open, yeah.
Yeah.
It's always tight coverage.
But there was a lot of balls where you're like, man, that receiver's got to catch that. It hit him in the hands.
Yeah. Well, he was very frustrated by it, and he was demonstrably frustrated. He was you know, chastising his own players. On the spot, you know. Of course, he Gronk spiked a Surface or a tablet or whatever, a Microsoft tablet, whatever it is. And by the way, where's the endorsement on that? Shouldn't they pick one of those up and show that it's not broken and go ahead and like do a big Brady deal or something?
Is it not broken?
Well, I mean, maybe it is. Maybe that's the problem. But you know what? Maybe they could do it for their service too. You know, we repair our own.
What'd he say on this podcast tonight? I got to be careful not to throw my arm out doing that.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of that, he's got an injury. This was highlighted during the game too. The ring finger of his throwing hand is kind of beat up, he said.
You were commenting on that on Twitter during the game.
Yeah.
You noticed it right away.
So he said that might be a problem this week, you know, during practice or whatever, but he's played with worse. He doesn't sound overly concerned about it. It's a bad thing that you lose your number one receiver before you play the Green Bay Packers. And of course, the Packers have lost their number one receiver to free agency.
Well, and particularly when your number two and number three receivers are hurt.
That's right. Hurt and don't practice, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was the other thing that, you know, it was kind of revealed or confirmed by Todd Bowles, is how Brady is now taking every Wednesday off sort of for body maintenance in the facility, and then other veterans have their days as well. What's interesting, and somebody, and this was a good point that I probably should bring up to Bowles when we talk to him next, and that is, you know, there's guys like Julio Jones who doesn't practice on Wednesday. That's the same day as Brady, I believe. But then there's other receivers that don't practice on Friday. Some players don't practice on Thursday, and you're like, well, wait a minute. Wouldn't it make sense if all those guys took the same day off so that when they're playing, they're all together and can get reps together? But I guess, you know, from
a body mix. Yeah, but then how do you – why even hold practice that day then?
Well,
that's –
yeah, that's the thing. Like, you might not have enough receivers or enough tight ends or whatever. And this is – we've talked about this. When you have the oldest team in the NFL and one that requires – not this isn't preferred, right? I mean, it's not like these young players – I don't see many defensive backs taking any days off because they're young players. They're in their third or fourth or fifth year of the league, and they practice every day. So how is that fair? Well, it's fair when you've accomplished stuff in this league and you're in your 30s and they want to make sure you get to it to the game on Sunday. They kind of have their own routines. It's been successful for them, and the coaches are willing to give them, you know, that body maintenance time. But
we've seen defensive players in the past. Ndamukong Suh was
Suh was an older player. He
Jason
did it
Pierre
all the time.
Paul was.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, so
Levante David is now doing it. He's taking Fridays off.
You kind of earn that right over time and the wear and tear on your body.
You do. But I think that I know what they're doing, and I understand it, and that's just what you've kind of committed to with the age of your club. But I'm here to tell you that you're not better by not practicing in this league, you know, especially an offensive player. I mean, defensively, if you've taken enough reps, and I suppose you can say, well, I know what a dig route is. I know what a, you know, this is and that is. But the timing, especially if you haven't been with Brady very much, you need time on task. That's what coaches always talk about. You know, we just need more time on task, get this energy down, get the body language, all that stuff. And that's the only way you can do it is on the grass. You can talk about it all you want to, and these guys are smart players, and they have little nuances that they see because they've been in the league for so long. They kind of speak the same language. But you have to do it on the grass. And I think that's been something that has held them back from an old team standpoint. In addition to the fact that now they're missing games. I mean, Julio Jones plays one game, and now he can't play. I don't know if he's going to play against the Packers. Let's say he doesn't. Okay, let's say Chris Godwin doesn't make it back. Who are your receivers? You're going up against Green Bay with Breshad Perriman, Jalen Darden.
Russell Gage. And Scotty Miller.
And maybe Scotty. And maybe you bring a guy up like Kalen Geiger again, right, or somebody like that. Buddy, I'm here to tell you, man. I mean, in the contest between, you know, Aaron Rodgers losing his receivers, you probably have worse. You're just not giving Tom Brady a lot of options. Mm-hmm. And that's why Julio Jones was here ostensibly, because they felt like, well, we're going to lose some players at that position and we don't want to have to go hit the streets. We want to go ahead and take the best available guys now. And if the best available guys are hurt, you know, you're just in trouble. So it's unfortunate. And in announcing the suspension, Runyon talked about Evan striking an unsuspecting opponent who was part of the confrontation. I would say that he was probably the crux of the confrontation. It was for unnecessarily running, diving into, cutting, or throwing the body against or on a player who is out of the play and should have a reasonable anticipation that such contact by an opponent before or after the ball is dead wouldn't happen. You know, in other words, the play is over. It says you knocked your opponent to the ground and you made a players fighting from both teams. Your aggressive conduct could have caused serious injury to your opponent, and it clearly does not reflect on the high standards of sportsmanship, etc. The appeal's not going to go anywhere. I would agree with you. The funny thing is that one of the guys that handles the appeals is Derek Brooks. And I would imagine he recuse himself because he's a lifelong Buccaneer, just for the mere appearance of impropriety, and it would go to another arbiter. But it's funny that Runyon's son, John Runyon Jr., plays for the Green Bay Packers now. He's also a former Michigan man. So there's
yeah.
That.
Well, I definitely think he did that because the Packers are on the schedule next. Otherwise, he'd been playing.
Well.
No, I'm kidding.
I mean, just the appearance of it's kind of weird, right?
It is. You know, but like I said, I in looking at the play, immediately said he's going to be suspended. Matter of fact, I jokingly texted you when it happened. I said, Brady may retire next week. He doesn't have Jones. He doesn't have Godwin. And now he doesn't have Evans next week for the home opener. I mean, he just may retire this week. I wasn't serious, of course, but you're going into this game potentially with one of your top four receivers.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. And Todd Bowles was not happy. He said, you know, this should be a lesson, to all the other players. And you never condone this sort of thing. You never want to hurt your team. They've talked about it before. They talked about it going into the game. And, you know, in the heat of the moment, we know that it's an emotionally charged sport. There's really no place in football for that. I mean, the thing is, you're all padded up anyway. And if you start swinging at guys, you could end up busting your hands on a helmet, a face mask. You can't really punch anybody because of that. It's just kind of dumb, you know. But you could charge in there and blindside a guy. That's what happened. The irony is that when Mike Evans was suspended before, back in 2017, he was not ejected from the game that day. And that also involved a quarterback, only it was Jameis Winston, who is now the Saints quarterback. He was on the sideline. He'd actually been taken out of the game. And sort of was pointing at Lattimore, and Lattimore slapped away his finger, and that's when Evans charged in and just hit Lattimore from behind, never saw it coming, and just flattened him. And that was an even more egregious hit. He did get a game for that, but he was not ejected from the game. So in this case, fired his team up, all of that. Good to know that a guy's got your back, you're at his. But now they're going to have Mike's back and hope that they can win this game in spite of him not being with them. And, it's without pay, so from a salary standpoint, he kind of gets a break because he's restructured his contract so many times that actually his salary, which, you know, they base the fine off of, his base salary, is the NFL minimum. It's about $1.1 million because so much of his money has been deferred or their bonuses that have been paid, whatnot. And so Mike will forfeit a mere $60,000 or so for his game check that he won't be getting paid, you know, this week. And I don't believe he can be in the facility either. I think he's just out, you know, for the week, which is also disappointing. So, you know, we'll see how the appeal goes, and I would imagine it would be expedited so that he can practice if in fact it went his way. But I don't think it's going to go his way.
But it certainly fired up that defense, which, look, and as much as we've talked about how the offense has not played great and they're missing a lot of guys.
Yeah.
They're 2-0 with road wins at Dallas and New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
That defense has been phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And it, I mean, what was it, 4 turnovers and 9 plays after that?
Yeah.
Something
yeah.
like that?
Yeah.
That defense forced?
Right.
That is an elite NFL defense right now.
Very elite. I think that they could make a claim. I haven't seen all the defenses. I think Buffalo is very, very good from a defensive standpoint. They've only given up a touchdown. They're beating the, you know what, off the Tennessee Titans as we do this podcast. 41-7 currently, and I think that's the way it's going to end. But they're deep and they're elite. Let's get into the defense. I want to talk about them because they're their own sort of, you know, separate category that is really gonna lead this team for some time. Before we talk about Todd Bowles' defense, I want to tell you about May Electric Solar. Your electric bill's going up like mine. This is a solution, a family-owned and operated business. They install solar electric systems. They've been doing it for 12 years. There's a lot of these fly-by-night companies, but not May Electric Solar. They're committed to you for the long term. They guarantee their workmanship with a 30-year labor and services warranty. Plus, with every installation, you get $750 worth of surge protection for all your appliances. That is the May difference. If you visit their Hudson showroom, May Electric displays all its products. They conduct on-site testing. You can see exactly what they're going to install. Plus, they don't use contractors, so you know exactly who is doing the job. Start saving today. Call the solar energy experts at May Electric Solar at 727-819-2862. You can schedule a free estimate. You can lower your electric bill all year long and preserve your quality of life and your appliances through every storm season. That's May Electric at 727-819-2862. You know, I was asked about the Bucs offense and just sort of the run heaviness of it, you know, in these first couple weeks. And this is all what we predicted. We've been talking about this before they ever played the first preseason game, that, you know, the what are the changes that Todd Bowles is going to bring and sort of how would Brady, you know, embrace or not embrace what they were going to do. This is exactly what Tom Brady wanted to do at age 45. They are running an offense to protect their quarterback, number one, okay? To limit the amount of hits that he takes, to keep him out of harm's way, and to protect their defense, which is elite. However, defensive coaches, everyone that I've ever covered before and that I've known, look at the game very similarly, and that is from you know, the holistic version. It's not just about scoring points. It's not just about making big plays or splash plays or throwing the ball down the field. It's also about helping your defense and complementing each other from a schematic standpoint. Obviously, the more you run the ball, the clock moves, okay? Every time you drop back to throw a pass and it's incomplete, it stops. And so, you know, that's just more time of possession potentially for the other team if you don't pick up first downs and or score. And even sometimes if you score in a hurry, your defense is right back on the field. And over the course of a game, there's a big difference between playing 75 snaps and playing maybe 60 snaps. It doesn't sound like much, but it is. And so we've pretty much known throughout the offseason that this was going to look totally different than when Bruce Arians was, you know, having the no risk it, no biscuit attack, where you have five eligible, four verticals, and one guy underneath. And, you know, basically they can bring more defenders than you can block. I mean, you only have five offensive linemen. If you're having five eligible and a quarterback, then they could overwhelm you, obviously. But that's changed, and it's changed and needed to change primarily because of where Brady is at in his career, in his life, and in his skill sets. He can still zing it, but he does not going to sit back there and get hit. And it needed to change because they had a new offensive line. And some of it was planned and some of it was not planned. I mean, you lose Orion Jensen, you don't know Robert Hainsey, how he's going to perform. He did a good job in the offseason. He's worked really hard. And I think he's played pretty well these first couple games. Obviously, he's played winning football. But that's a new player. You know, and there are other new players. Luke Getteke was always going to win this job, in my opinion, when they drafted him out of Central Michigan. He was their second-round pick. They said it was a competition, but I thought that it was just a matter of time before he was more or less handed the job. I think he's played well, especially in the run game. He's made some mistakes, but he's not where he needs to be from a pass protection standpoint. And that's going to take time. And, you know, you have to play together. You know, you have to have players that are beside each other that, you know, see things on the field in real time, the loop stunts and the games that the defensive line runs and that sort of thing. They had a play the other day, and Bowles was very frustrated by this. When they went for it on fourth and one, they didn't get it on third and one. They went for it on fourth and one. They actually had a missed assignment. I think it was Tristan Wirfs. And, you know, they were dropped at the 8-yard line, 8 or 9 yard lines. They lost a yard on fourth down. And Bowles was like, look, I don't care where you are in the field. You have to be able to get a yard. When you need a yard, you have to execute well enough to get 1 yard. That's also sort of his mentality. But in having said all that, their defense, I think, is elite, as you mentioned. And it's elite because they have the combination that you have to have. They have the ability to stop the run. Now, they've come out 2 games in a row. Both Dallas and New Orleans have hurt this team with the runs early. The run fits aren't quite right. Schematically, they've done some nice things. There's some missed tackles early in the game, and you see that a lot early in the season around the NFL. If you watch any of the games the first couple of weeks, these guys just don't tackle to the ground until they get in the regular season. So you've seen some missed tackles. So early on, they've given up in both games first drive field goals. But then that's been it. Then they shut it down. They get their run fits right. They stop the run. They start coming after the passer. They have 10 sacks in the first 2 weeks. That's elite. The interceptions that they have created, you know, it has also been great. They're getting turnovers. And that's what great defenses do. Great defenses don't allow points. They've allowed one touchdown. And that was sort of a garbage time touchdown that Bowles is quite frankly mad about, that they gave that up. He didn't think that should have happened. But, you know, one touchdown in 2 games in the NFL is unheard of, you know. And there's no signs of them slowing down because unlike the offense, which has a lot of older players, the defense said goodbye to Ndamukong Suh. They said goodbye to Jason Pierre-Paul. And, you know, it's unfortunate that Akeem Hicks now has a foot injury, because I think he was the perfect rotation guy for a young player like Logan Hall. And you have Raquez Nunez-Roches that can go in there, and Will Golston. And so you kind of had a nice rotation, but he could miss some time, according to Todd Bowles. And then, you know, on the outside, Shaq Barrett is still, well, not the youngest player on the team, is still one of the elite pass rushers in the league. He had 2 sacks just the other day. And Joe Tryon-Shawinka is a force. I mean, he is getting better and better each week as he learns and holds down that starting position. He had a half sack the other day, and he's young, and he's extremely fast, and he's extremely athletic. You add Logan Hall, extremely athletic, extremely fast. So they've upgraded their speed. Of course, Vita Vea is unblockable. He takes up double teams all day long. Also a good athlete that can move and run. And then you got the 2 elite linebackers, and the secondary in particular is the story of this season. What they have done, what Todd Bowles has done, and this goes really back to the Rams game, there's a certain chip on this team's shoulder that, you know, having blown that game because of miscommunication, they are not miscommunicating anything. Those guys are watching film. They are understanding what teams are trying to do to them. In real time on the field, they are making the adjustments, and they've added some veterans to the mix, you know. Logan Ryan is a huge pickup, and they're playing a lot of 3 safeties because now Antoine Winfield Jr. is in the slot, and he's making tackles. Like, there were a couple times, Steve, there were breakout runs, and if Antoine Winfield misses the tackle, that's a touchdown.
He's been phenomenal, and I really like him in that slot role.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a great safety, but you move him down in that slot because you have the veteran safeties like Logan Ryan,
mm-hmm.
and Keanu Neal.
Mike Edwards playing center field.
To go with Mike
field.
Edwards. Yeah. And it just it you're so much deeper,
right?
With him in that role instead of a Sean Murphy bunting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Antoine Winfield has adjusted beautifully to there.
Yeah, his dad played it. Now he's mm-hmm. playing it, and he's been a force. So they've got it. Look, they've got it going on. And right now it's early in the season. It's 2 weeks in, but the Devin White we're seeing now this year is what I expected last year. I think he took a step back. I think he's upped his game and looks like the defensive of the year player candidate that I thought he was going to be a year ago. He's really taken to heart some of the deficiencies in his game, like coverage, like pass coverage.
But he doesn't have to cover as much right now.
That's
because
correct.
Of the health, because of Lavonte David being healthy.
Lavonte
and
David
the secondary
is healthy
being
again.
Healthy.
Mm-hmm. And the secondary, right. Like, he was forced to do a lot of coverage and dropping into that with the tight ends and whatnot last year because they simply couldn't. They were just trying to keep guys in front of them in the secondary, playing guys like Richard Sherman and D. Laney and all the guys that came in and had to start. Now, injuries could happen tomorrow. You know, but right now with Carlton Davis, who's elite, Jamel Dean's catching the ball, making interceptions. Mike Edwards, all he does is score touchdowns when he catches it. He's got three now in the last couple of years. So it looks really good. And I think they're going to hit their stride. I think, you know, still the season is still young for them. I think they're going to get better. And we may be talking about them and holding them in some kind of reverence that has only been, you know, sort of reserved for the 2002 Bucs defense. But you're going to see a lot of similarities, I do, to when Tony Dungy was coaching those teams. Better quarterback, obviously got the greatest of all time, not just Brad Johnson. But in terms of the approach, you know, they may win by 16. They may win by 10. But it's not going to be 30-20. It's not going to be 40-30. You know, it's going to be 20-10. You know, they won by, you know, 16 in Dallas. But it wasn't 46-30. It was 19-3. And that's just kind of the way I think it's going to stand. And Tom Brady's not going to throw 50 touchdown passes this year. He may have a few games where he has four or five. You know, I mean, hell, Tua Tagovailoa the other day had six. But he's just not going to have that many attempts or that many yards as he's had in the past, because he's going to use his entire roster. And guys will have to get bigger and better, and they're going to say, you know, we got to find our identity. We haven't quite hit on anything just yet. But right now, Leonard Fournette is toting an enormous load. And I would be concerned if I can't get a couple more running backs involved. You know, Keyshawn Vaughn has not gotten a helmet on Sundays. We haven't seen much of Giovanni Bernard. You know, White is just kind of starting to get going a little bit, but they need to get him more involved in the offense as well and take some of that load off of Lenny, because I don't know how he can hold up with the punishment he takes. I know he gives a lot, but he gets hit four and five times every time he touches a football. And he's kind of been their engine on offense. Even when it's not going well, he's still getting the tough yards and getting field position and allowing them to punt and let the defense play there and do their thing. Their punting, their special teams, is the biggest improvement on the team. You know, they were horrendous on special teams. Now, Jake Camarda, the way he's punting the ball, phenomenal, getting a lot of kicks inside the 20. They're covering. Ryan Succop has still just one miss on the season. And has done a very good job. So, you know, so much of this football team is solid, and yet, you know, there is a frustration level, and there is a palatable difference the way Tom Brady is playing. And you can read this email. We got a text the other day. So me and Joey did the post game, and I want to explain myself because there was some criticism, and I'm going to take it, but I'm going to tell you why I said what I said. Go ahead. Who was it that?
Rick had tweeted us, Rick Stroud,
not
Rick
me,
had tweeted
but
us.
Yeah.
Said, listening to your podcast after a win, and it's still gloom and doom. I hate to hear what it would have been like had they lost.
It's a fair point. I'll say that off the top. They're 2-0. When this season started and you looked at that schedule and you saw the gauntlet and you saw at Dallas Sunday night football, at New Orleans, home opener for the Saints, and then your first home game, week 3, home against the Green Bay Packers, and then followed up by a Sunday night game against the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, that's as tough a 4-game stretch as I remember, right, to start a new year. And the fact that they're 2-0 is not something I would have predicted. I would have predicted at least one loss, maybe two, to start this 4-game gauntlet. I said at the time, if they finished 2-2, that would be great. Anything above that would be absolute gravy. And they're 2-0. And so there is some merit to what he is saying. What I would say to Rick is that I'm kind of looking more not about the short term, but the long term. I'm looking holistically. Like, we've got a pretty good sense now of sort of what this team is going to be like and the style they're going to play. They're going to be in a lot of close games. And that's not a bad thing if you've got the best, you know, greatest quarterback of all time, particularly in the fourth quarter on the final drive. But they're going to be in a lot of low-scoring games, and they're not going to separate very much from some teams. I think it's a tough style to play. I've seen it done. I've seen it done all the way to a Super Bowl with Peyton Manning. And no, Tom Brady is not Peyton Manning. His skills had eroded to the point where he couldn't throw the ball at all, barely. But the defense in Denver that year with Von Miller and those guys, they were elite. And you know, sort of Peyton Manning was a passenger on the way to a Super Bowl. I don't think Brady is a passenger, But there's some other drivers along the route too. You know, he's not doing all the driving. And sort of that's the difference, is that, you know, whether it's not an erosion of his skills by any means, but it's just the acknowledgement that he's 45 years old and he can't lead the league in pass attempts. He can still absolutely play. He can zing it, but he's got injuries to his offensive line. He's got a new offensive line. And as Brady has said many times on his podcast and other places, I will do anything. You know, I would rather lose a game, and he hates to lose. But he said, I'd rather lose games and have a chance to play the next one than to get hurt and the season just be over. You know, so he's going to err on the side of caution. And that's why, if you know, there was a fumbled snap the other day, he just stood there. He wasn't going to dive in the pile and get hurt. He just kind of took a step back and let everybody, you know, let the scrum begin. And that was his fault because he closed his hand before the center had actually snapped the ball up in there. His gloved hand was already closed. And, you know, you get that. You get that with Brady. But I think it's a hard style to play. And all I'm saying is it's not doom and gloom, but it's also not what we saw the last 2 years. Is that fair? He's not. I don't want to say his skills are still there, but he's not as willing to try to play that style.
Well, it's not no risk it, no biscuit anymore.
Right, exactly. It's a different coach. And I think Brady's more comfortable at this age playing this way. He's played this way before. This was only like the third time in his career that he has gone back to two games in a row with one or fewer touchdown passes. It's like the third time in his career. I mean, this guy throws two touchdown passes when he rolls out of bed. And, you know, so there's obviously work that needs to be done on the offensive side. But if every day that offensive line is gelling and getting better and getting better, and maybe they get healthier and they get Donovan Smith back. Although, you know, having Wells go down was unfortunate, right?
You're on your third left tackle now.
Yeah, you are. But that guy made his NFL debut from Seminole High School, and he played really well. He played 44 snaps. Prior to that, he had played 4 on special teams. So maybe they discovered something in Wells' injury. You know, he hung in there. He played pretty well. In fact, he had a nice block. You know, Brady was able to scan the field on the deep shot to Breshad Perriman because the protection was so good. It was one of the few times that he knew he had time, and he took all of it and got through all his reads and then, you know, took a shot one-on-one with Perriman and hit it. So, you know, all of that looked good. But the doom and gloom thing, I'm really not poo-pooing the fact that they're 2-0. I think I would not have predicted 2-0 at this juncture. And I still say that, you know, if you're 2-2, you have a pulse in the NFC especially. But they're probably going to go 3-1. They're going to get one of these next two games, I think. And if they get them both, then they're the top team in the NFC. And the NFC, to me, is wide open. You know, not wide open. I mean, we can identify the teams that are going to be there in the end. I think the Rams are, you know, more than likely going to be around. I think Green Bay will. There are some others. But Philadelphia looks strong so far in this early part of the season. They made the playoffs last year. They were the only new head coach, you know, that did so. But the AFC to me is a better and deeper conference this year. But if the Bucs go 4-0, they serve notice to the rest of the NFL. They're like, okay, how do you like me now? We played playoff teams right on through, and we beat them all. And they have a chance to do that, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough without Mike Evans especially. And then Kansas City comes here. And even though Kansas City doesn't have Tyreek Hill, they look very, very, very strong. By the way, I called Miami. I think we talked about this when Miami was here for the joint practices. I think we said, I know I did, that the Dolphins are going to be a problem with those receivers. They're a problem.
It all hinges on Tua.
All of it, yeah. Mm-hmm. And some outstanding coaching going on, right, with Mike McDaniel, who is probably on his way to Coach of the Year if he does anything close to what he's done the first 2 weeks. But getting the ball out to his hands and getting it to his playmakers, and they've got some playmakers. I mean, Cedric Wilson, they've got, obviously, Tyreek Hill, and then Jaylen Waddle. I mean, Hill and Waddle, are there two faster receivers than that in the league on the same team? I mean, those guys are explosive. And they create so much stress on your defense. Like, I can't tell you, with all the movement and the misdirection and the jet sweeps and the play action and all that stuff, that your eyes are going everywhere. And it's kind of like, oh, there's the ball. It's over. Oh, it's over my head. You know, it's just that fast. And if Tua can grasp it and keep protecting the ball the way he has, the Dolphins are going to compete for that division. I mean, they're that good. I mean, the Bills are going to win it, because I think they're the best team in the NFL right now. I'm not sure anybody's going to beat them if they stay healthy.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We'll see what the fallout is for Mike Evans, what the status of his appeal is as we move forward through the week. You should have an answer for that fairly soon. We're going to talk a little bit about the Rays. I'm sure they began their series with a loss against Houston, who clinched, I think, the number one seed, if I'm not mistaken.
They clinched their division for the fifth time in 6 years.
Is that what it was? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So they're looking at possibly, oh, definitely some home games, but then maybe even a bye early on.
Yeah, they should get the bye. They may have already clinched that. I don't know if the Guardians can catch them, but the Yankees could still catch them overall.
Right. So the Rays have that going on. We're going to have Matt Baker talk some college football this week, I'm sure. And then, of course, you can get your mailbag questions in anytime. I've got some already. A lot of people wanting to know some of the details and some of the things about Mike Evans' suspension and why some other players may not have been suspended. I think we're going to see a bunch of fines come down. I'd be very surprised if there's not significant fines for guys like Marshawn Lattimore, perhaps Leonard Fournette. We'll see what the league is supposed to address in some way. They're looking at the entire bench situation on the Tampa Bay sideline, so there might be something with respect to that. So we'll have all that later this week. But get your mailbag questions in. You can send them to us on Twitter at SportsDayTB. You can reach me on Twitter at NFL Stroud, or my email address is rstroud@tampabay.com. And just a reminder, call our friends at May Electric Solar. You can save a ton of money, 30-year labor and service warranty, $750 worth of surge protection. They do their own installation. Start saving today. Call the solar energy experts, May Electric Solar, at 727-819-2862. Schedule free estimate. Lower your electric bill all year long. May Electric Solar at 727-819-2862. For Steve Versnick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.